Today we are looking at part two. So 2 weeks ago, we started part one of this topic, light in the darkness. And today we are looking at part two of light in the darkness. So last time we established the source of light and the source of darkness. We established that ultimately light comes from spiritual light. And God is the Father of lights. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. At all. At all. In fact, my modern day version will be like, God is stainless. You can't put any stain on him. And don't waste your time trying. Don't. When things happen, if things happen, it is never God to blame. Never. It's impossible. He's perfect. He doesn't come late for a meeting. He doesn't miss his appointments. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. It's never. He's stainless. There's no darkness in him. So when darkness shows up, let's look for the source somewhere else other than God. If we know that, we can begin to overcome darkness. Hallelujah. He spends all your time mourning and complaining and getting angry with God. You are on a false start. Hallelujah. Your race has not started. Now, the Bible helps us. It says that, who is the father of darkness? Who is the prince of darkness? Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 tells us, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That doesn't mean that darkness does not come through flesh and blood. In fact, most of the darkness you experience in this life comes through flesh and blood. I mean, the people around you. But they are not the original source. There's a puppeteer in charge of the puppet. Hallelujah. When you see darkness in people, there is something behind it. He said, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And it's not Boris Johnson. Hallelujah. We are talking about spirits. In fact, in case you are confused, the next one says, it says spiritual wickedness. In what? In heavenly places. In fact, if I say high places, you misunderstand it. The version that is right is in heavenly places. The devil is not in hell right now. Hallelujah. You know who is in hell right now? The Antichrist, the beast, is in hell right now. Revelation tells us. Revelation 9:11. It said they had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit. And his name is called in Hebrew Abaddon. But in Greek, Apollyon. You know what Apollyon means? It means destruction. So 1 Thessalonians 4 calls him the son of perdition. Another version calls him the son of destruction. Hallelujah. He's there. When he comes out to manifest as the Antichrist, he will just possess the right candidate. Hallelujah. But Satan is operating in the heavenly places. Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. Yeah? He's the ruler. That's where darkness comes from. And darkness, we invade anyone who opens the door. It doesn't matter if you're born again. Hallelujah. Listen to that. If you open the door, okay, let me change the language. If you put off the light, darkness will invade. Have you ever noticed that at night, all you need to have darkness, your room full of darkness to put off the, is waiting. Hello? Darkness is what? Is waiting. If you open it up, it invades. It's ever waiting. Hallelujah. So to overcome the darkness, what do you need to do? If you don't want darkness to dominate your life. Yes, I saw your... You want to say, it's okay. Sorry? Come on, don't be shy. Anyone? It's simple. Just your normal everyday. How do you stop darkness from dominating your home?
You turn on the light.
Okay, I need a more innovative answer. It's correct. It's, you're absolutely correct. But what guarantees that that light will come on when you need it? What if you put on that switch and there's no light?
Pay your electricity.
You pay. Pay your electricity bill. Otherwise, when you turn it on, it may not come on. Praise God. The Lord is good. And all the time. Now, let's open to Matthew 5. That's where we start from today. So what I'm focusing on today is how to overcome the darkness. That's the whole purpose of the message. What I've tried to establish so far is, if you're just being a good gentleman, you know, you're a gentleman, you're not troubling anybody, you're not looking for trouble, darkness is still coming. You didn't look for the trouble. You're just gentle, minding your own business. Darkness never minds its own business. It's all around you. And in case you were in doubt, go back to the beginning. Before day one, what do you see after the beginning? He said the darkness was over the face of the deep. He doesn't mind his business. Darkness is a busybody. Praise the Lord. Your hairstyle, your nice hairstyle will not chase darkness away. Your money in the bank will not chase what? Darkness away. But it may chase poverty to some extent. But you know, you can be rich in money and poor in spirit. So you can be rich in money and be depressed. You can be rich in money and be oppressed. You can be rich in money and full of unforgiveness and bitterness. You can be rich in money and be sick and diseased. They are all darkness. Amen. Your darkness does not recognize that you just bought a new set of trainers. You know, you have a nice haircut, you have a new set of trainers, you feel cool. But darkness does not recognize that. It can invade. Even if you bought a new car, darkness can take the back seat while you are driving. Hallelujah. So how can we overcome the darkness? Actually, before Matthew, let's go back. It's a rewind, but I'm moving to Matthew. Matthew is what I want to focus on today. But before then, go back to John chapter 1, verse 4-5. Let's read it. John 1, 4-5. So let me have anyone who was not in the service last time. John chapter 1, verse 4-5. Let's have someone first from this corner. Anyone? Anyone? John chapter 1, verse 4-5. If you see the darkness dominating any part of your life, the first job is not to blame God. And the first job is not to beg God. I know this, Pastor Ben, preaching. Because if your approach is to beg God, you will blame God. Anything you beg for God for and you don't get, yeah? What happens when you beg and beg, and you know the person who you are begging can give and does not give you? What happens to you? I'm looking for a word. What? Frustration! I hope you follow what I'm teaching. If you are begging God for something, and you know God can do all things, if you don't get it, you'll be frustrated. Then you will blame God, and you will try to put a stain on God. And God is stainless. Leave the begging to those who don't know God. Leave the begging to those who are not children of God. They don't have any covenant with God. So all they can do is what? Beg. So say, if God was real and God was alive, why did he allow coronavirus? And I say, before coronavirus came, what was your relationship with that God that was real and alive? Did you recognize him? Did you know him? So what does he hold you now? You know the time is coming when all sin and all sinners will be removed from this world.
there will be no coronavirus. Million years, there will be none. Because it will reign fully. Hallelujah. Every evil that manifests in this world is because there are people in the world that are opening the door to darkness. And let me tell you something. If you are living in a home where the doors are being opened to darkness, you will get a taste of it. Hello? I don't know if you are following me, what I'm saying. If you're in the home and the boiler fails, all of you will have your shower with cold water. I know you ate cold water, but you will have to manage. Have you ever had your shower with cold water? It's happened. You know, somebody has had that experience like me. You know what just happens? Somebody finished all the hot water. And you put it on, you are ready to go. The worst thing is that it starts warm. And then, when you are one quarter away, I'm telling you exactly the timing, one quarter away, it just gives you a rude shock. But that time, you are too engaged to run away. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, please read it.
The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
Amen. Who gave you life? According to John chapter 1 verse 4, who gave you life? According to John 1 4, who gave you life? No. John 1 4, look at it. Who gave you life? Look at it, read it. John 1 4, open it. Who gave you life? The Word. I mean, of course, John 1:1 tells you that the Word was God. But I want us to localize it. It's the Word. It's the Word of God that gave you life. But that's not all. It's the Word of God that sustains you alive. Because Colossians says, he said, by Him all things consist. If the Word withdrew itself completely from you, you are dead. Like if the Word, imagine someone just say, blaming God, getting angry with God. God said, okay, no problem. I will withdraw. Flat, like a pack of water. You know, that body is 70% water. The only thing keeping it standing is bones. 70%, is it 70%? 66, 67? Water. Imagine, the Word gave life. You see, scientists, one thing they can never produce and they have never produced and they will never produce is life. They can mix it and mix it, but to produce life, everything they are doing is just taking what God has already done and then mixing and matching. But to bring life out of something originally, zero, it's impossible. The Word gave life to everything. Say, just say, the Word of God gave life to me. I am living because of the Word. Hallelujah. And that, you already see the secret there. He said that life you receive from God is what?
It's the light of man.
If somebody says that, I'm done with the Word of God, their spiritual life is finished. Finished. It doesn't matter what they read. It doesn't matter what they studied. It doesn't matter what they trained in. Everything has become foolishness. Because the Bible says that it is the fool that says in his heart, there's no God. You know why they are fools? Because they did not make themselves. You just woke up one day and you found out that you exist. You didn't even name yourself. Somebody named you. He said, what's your name? Say, what's your name? That's fine. What's your name? I know. She's smiling like, you know my name. Somebody gave you the name.
Then you woke up one day and you find that, ah. Praise God. It's the fool that says in that day. It's the word. Word give life. That life is the light. What does light do for you? What's the first thing that light does for you? Come on. What does light do? See! Amen? Praise God. The greatest thing you need in your life is the ability to... You know why? I have a riddle. How is it possible that the light is all on, like in this room, yeah? And then someone is still walking in darkness. Yes? Let's ask our youth. It's a little physics experiment. There's light all around you. You are in the light, but you are walking in the darkness. Is it possible? First of all, let's even clarify that. Is it possible? Yes or no? Is it possible to be in the light and yet walking in darkness? Yes. Anybody agree? So we all agree that it's possible to be in the light, but you are walking in darkness. It's possible to attend church every Sunday and be walking in darkness. It's possible to be born again and be walking in darkness. What makes that possible? That you are in the light. Think natural, don't think spiritual. You are in the light, but you are walking in darkness. What needs to happen to make that happen? Youth? Then you tell me.
Your eyes are closed.
What happened? Say it again. I like it. Say it again.
Your eyes are closed.
Your eyes are closed. That's why. Let's stay there a little. Oh, let me try. What are the reasons why people's eyes can be closed in the light? They're in the light, but their eyes are closed. There are about 2-3 reasons. Yes? Let's try. Think. An idea? Someone's eyes is closed and they're in the light. What could make that happen? Give me the simplest one. You know it? Okay. I'm not admitting you don't know it. I'm just going to someone else. Yes? Someone's eyes are closed, but why there's light all around and they are walking in darkness, though there's light? What could make their eyes closed? Think. This is not a spiritual question, just natural.
Infirmity.
Sorry?
Infirmity.
Sickness. Yes, I'll take it. It's correct. So, everyone can be sick and they can't open their eyes. I just didn't think about that, but that's correct. Yes?
They closed it.
They closed it. You're not going to. I remember when I tried to, sometime in the past, I tried to give someone of my sons eye drop. Have you ever experienced that? They closed it. The very moment I say, just look at the ceiling, look at the light, and just keep looking. And I'm going to just point. The very moment the drop is about landing, they close it. They closed it. The light was around, but they chose to close their eyes. So, they are in the light, but they are walking in darkness. Another reason is that somebody closed their eyes. Yeah? But tell me, which one is easier? To close your eyes or for somebody to close your eyes? Tell me. Which one is easier? To close your eyes or for somebody else to close it? Sorry?
To close it.
It's easier. For someone to close your eyes, 2 things must happen. One, you either submitted easily, or you resisted, but you do not have enough power. Praise God. For a believer to walk in darkness, they close their eyes, or they are wearing heavy sunglasses. So that everything they are hearing is going through a filter. I said, that doesn't apply to me. I'm cool. I don't like that pastor. That's why I'll go to another place where they can preach to me what I can hear. They close their eyes. Yes, I see a question.
Thank you.
Sorry, Pastor. I just wanted to ask, kind of, could the light be too bright that you close your eye?
You are looking in the wrong direction. Amen? The light is not in your life to fight you. So, it's not your enemy. The light is there to help you. Someone who sees light as so bright, they are looking not on the path. You see, the light is there for you to walk the walk. Well, when you're not busy walking the walk, the light will offend you. And you will close your eyes. And you will walk then in what?
Does it make sense?
The light is not your... Say to yourself, say the light, which is the word, is not my enemy. It's my source. Do you understand? You are made of it. You can't fight it. It's like somebody fighting their body. You don't fight your body. And that's a good lesson in marriage. He said the husband is the head of the wife. And the wife is what? The body. The day the head and the body stop cooperating, what do you have? Confusion. You don't fight your body. Your body is your body. Whether you like it or maybe you were born black and you wanted to be born pink. Your body, you don't even determine the body you came to this world with. But the day you find out that you are alive, start cooperating with your body. It's your body that will carry you through life successfully. Amen? Your body. You need your body. Say, I need my body. That's the first law of success. You need your body. Everything you want to do, you need that body. If you are mistreating that body, the day you need to perform, it won't. Praise God. Don't close your eyes. Speak to your neighbor, tell them, say, don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Open your eyes. Say, the entrance of God's word brings you what? Light. Embrace it. Don't fight it. Amen. Amen. Don't fight light. Embrace it. Amen. Use it. Use light. The light will guide your path. And it will keep you off the darkness. Verse 5, John 1, 5, it says, the light shines. For the light to shine in your life, yeah, you are cooperating with it. If you are resisting it, it can't shine in your life. You are cooperating with it. He said, you shall know what? Now, it is possible to know the truth and still embrace foolishness. You know it in your head. I know. Say, but I know. But you shouldn't be doing like that. I know. But you shouldn't be mixing with those people. I know. You shouldn't be coming late to church. I know. But you're not cooperating. You're not cooperating with it. You know, but produces no fruit. Then what opens door for darkness? Do you see? It's not God's fault. God is light. Hallelujah. God is light. And when we cooperate with that light, this is the part I like most. Verse 5. It says, the light shines in darkness. The darkness can never. It's strong. I love it. It's not made not. It's not maybe. It's not a gamble. If I am walking in the light and that light is shining, yeah, in me and through me, the darkness may try. It may try. But it cannot extinguish it. For the darkness to extinguish your light, you gave up on the light. Amen? Let's talk about walking in love.
You know, people can, you can treat people very nice, good, and they treat you very bad. I'm using the word very. Imagine, like, you treat someone very good. You give them their best. You know that sometimes you didn't treat someone good. I hope you know that. There are times you know that you didn't treat them good enough. You know you could have done better. You gave your minimum best. Say, do that job. You just found a shortcut. And you did a quick, shabby one. You didn't treat them well. And that does not glorify God. God said, whatever we are doing, we should do it as unto the Lord. Because it's the Lord that will reward us. Imagine if everything you are doing, you saw God beside you. That's how God wants to live. If you can see that God is right there. We did change some things. Praise God. You know the young person that wants to talk rudely to their mom. Imagine when they were about to open their mouth, Jesus showed up. Would that change the way they are about to talk? Yeah, but the Bible says that whoever must come to God must believe that he is. Live as though he is there. You are in faith. If you are living as though he's far away, you are not what? In faith. Praise God. Say, I need to see God. Right here on heart. Do you know how you see God on heart? It's your heart. It's not that one that pumping blood. That's biology. Your heart is your innermost being. Your spirit. You see God with the eyes of your spirit. You see God in your conscience. It's there. It's permanently there. Yeah? The person whose conscience is dead, they can't see God again. But there are believers whose conscience, unfortunately, has been blind-led. Yeah? It shouldn't happen. But they invited it by closing their eyes. Let me see, I'm doing with time. The Lord is good. And all the time. So the point I want to make is this. This is my life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. So this is my mathematics in my life. If I see darkness in my life overcoming my light, there is a problem. Firstly, it's never with God. Never. Didn't want to waste my time. So I begin to ask myself, the only reason why darkness can extinguish light is that there is not, it's not shining. You know, it says a man can light a candle and put it under what? In bed. So I begin to investigate. Where is the light not shining? It may be that you didn't pay the electricity bill. Go and pay it. You may be running short of the word. Get back in the word. You may be running short of fellowship. I will show you that. Get back in fellowship. You may be running short of, you know, your faith is not a badge. Your faith is a profession. Open your Bible to Hebrews. That phrase I just gave you dropped in my spirit this morning. Just say, my faith is not a badge. It's not a religious badge. You know secondary school, yeah? I don't know if this happens in primary school, but in secondary school, did they give you badges? Yeah? Tell me one badge they give you in your secondary school. I mean, anyone, you know, for whatever good behavior. Any badges?
You've got like sports badges.
Sports badges, what else? Okay, sports badge. Why do you put on a badge? Okay, let's ask you, you've been given a badge. So why should you keep it on or put it on?
To show what you've achieved.
To show what you...
Your faith is not a badge. Don't wear your faith as a badge. It's a false start. It's not a badge. It is a profession. Open your Bible to Hebrews. If you wear your faith as a badge, darkness will dominate you. You will say, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. But darkness will be kicking you like football. It's a profession. Anybody find what I'm looking for in Hebrews? There are quite a few of them. Anybody found it? Anybody found profession in Hebrews? Tell me one. Anyone? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. I'll come to you. There are quite a few of them, but let's do that 10:23 for time's sake. Hebrews 10:23. It just came to me. It's like a prophecy, a prophesying. He said, your faith is not a badge. Don't wear it as a badge. If you wear your faith as a badge, you're just practicing religion. Yeah? Religion gives you the form, but it does not deliver the power. And to overcome power, to overcome darkness, you need the power, not just the form. Amen? Please read it.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
Please read the one before. Wavering. Set the background. Just give us the context. Verse 22.
Okay. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering.
We should do what?
We should hold fast the profession
of our faith without
wavering.
Why?
For he is faithful that promised.
Do you see the connection? Faith and faithfulness. They are two sides of the same coin. Many times we confess the faithfulness of God, but we forget the profession of our faith. They go together. Hallelujah. They go together. Hallelujah. They go together. If I want to lay hold on the faithfulness of God, I must also lay hold on the profession of my faith. Hallelujah. But I say, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as well. But if you go on and read about Abraham, you will see that his belief was not just as a badge. He walked the walk. He what? He left his comfort zone. There are times he suffered, but continued to walk by faith and in love. You remember what Lot did to him when Lot, left him for the better ground? Did Abraham, become bitter and angry? He continued to walk in love. As he walked in love and walked by faith, God now blessed. There were two pieces of estate or land. There was a better one. Lord chose the better one. Despite the fact that Lord was the benefiting from Abraham. Abraham let him go. But he continued to walk in. You will know later, because when Lord was in trouble, he went to rescue him. Then, what changed? So you have a place that doesn't look as good, but because of his love, walking in love, walking by faith, the blessing came down. And in the season that Lord left him, he multiplied beyond what he had before. Hallelujah. That's how we overcome the darkness. When I say profession, please look beyond, because I know that in the younger years, we also change profession to mean confession. But I want you to know that profession is stronger. It's your profession. It's your life. I remember someone said before, he said, football is my life. Football is not my life. It's not even worth it. It's not even half 10 times over what near it. Faith is my life. Amen? It's my profession. He's thinking, what's your profession? He asked, he said, do you mean the spiritual world or the physical one? It's my profession. That's the suit I wear every day. If you live like that, you overcome the darkness. Hallelujah. Because, let me tell you something. When the darkness is coming at you, yeah? What the Bible tells you to hold out? Ephesians 6. Open to Ephesians 6. Begin to round up gradually. Trying my best to, you know, be more timely. I'm showing, we are teaching how to overcome the darkness. Ah, Holy Spirit, thank you. I want to tell you the concluding part of the prodigal son today. You know, last 2 weeks I talked about the part where he left. Let me tell you the concluding part today because the Holy Spirit broke it down. But before that, Hebrews, no, where was I going? Thank you, church. I love you. Ephesians 6. I want to show you what how to make sure that you can keep the devil away from your life. Your smartness will not keep him away. Your fine dressing and a fizzy will not keep him away. Your connections cannot keep him away. Your experience does not compare with the experience of the devil. If you don't, if you doubt me, just ask yourself how old you are. Maybe 47. The devil has been operating on this earth for 6,000 years plus. So how are you matching now? How are you matching? In that your blessed brain. How will you match the devil? The only way, yeah, to deal with the devil is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. It's so lower than it. Every time God brings out wisdom, they were like, where did that God come from? Okay, Ephesians 6, are you there? Now I'm going to make a guess. I think we are looking for verse 16. Is it 16 or 15? Someone help me. Which verse? Talking about the shield of faith? 16. Oh, that was good. Okay, someone help me. One of our youth. Ephesians 6, 16. Oh, I've not come to this corner. Daniel, you're there. Or Tommy, any of you. Whoever. Ephesians 6, 16. I'll give you some time to synchronize. Ephesians 6, 16. Hello, Audrey. I like that smile. I was looking at some pictures, but I saw you when you were much younger, smiling. I like smiles. It's good. Ephesians 6, 16. You see, that's the advantage of the good old. Yeah. Ephesians 6, 16. And I'm coming to another youth. Get ready to read another version. Go on, please.
In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Amen. What are all these? Let me tell you. Please, let me tell you. You know the breastplate of righteousness? You wear it as a badge. Well, not that way, but it's there. Yeah, it's positional. It stays there. You just need to remember that it's there. But it's there. The helmet of salvation. You wear it as a badge. Not in that way. But, you know, once you put it on, it's there. All you need to remember is that is what? It's there. Amen? The belt of truth. Once you put it on, but once you tied it, hopefully it's a good quality belt. Not the one that will make you sag about. Like somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. It's positional. But in addition to all this, can you wear the shield of faith? You can't wear it as a badge. Ephesians 6:16 tells you that you cannot wear faith as a badge. What does it tell you to do with faith? Hold it up. Hold it fast. Hold it as a profession. Look, your faith as a shield keeps moving. It what? Whichever direction the problem is coming, you deploy. Amen? You hold it up. That's how you overcome what? The darkness. Amen. Let's finish on two notes. Because there won't be a part three for now. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want to show you another key of walking in light. So to walk in the light, yeah, you need to embrace the word of God. as the constitution of your life. Hello? You know, I said that the word gave you life. So I'm playing with the English now. Listen to me. That means that the word is your constitution. That is, your being is constituted by the word. And that also means that the operation of your life must be based on the constitution of the word. Not as like a guideline. So the word is your constitution that keeps your life, and it's also your constitution that guides your life. So to overcome the darkness, you must embrace the word as your constitution. Secondly, you need to live by faith as a profession. As a profession. He said the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is, another definition, understanding the character of God and putting your trust in it. I told you that if you don't know that God is here, you have not started faith. In any situation, if you cannot see God present, if you think that God was far away, he's not there, you are not in faith. Because knowing that God is there affects how you approach it. Amen? And you know what I always say? I say faith comes by, and hearing by what? Now, let's do that 1 John 5, 7 quickly. Who has it? Yes? Who has it? 1 John 5, 6 to 7? Yes? We can go to Stephen. Okay. You are ready? Let's go for it. So I manage the time. 1 John 5, 6 to 7. Let me see what. Please go on.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. So two statements. I've clarified the first part. Let me say it again. It is not possible to be in active, genuine, vibrant fellowship with God and be walking in darkness. That means if I see that darkness dominating me, I must agree with myself that something is wrong with my fellowship with God. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you won't go to hard times or trials and tests. But I'm saying that it will not dominate you. You will not become a perpetual victim. And there's no need to look elsewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. Secondly, is that he now gives us a solution. Someone say solution. What solution? He said, if we are walking in the light. Can you say that? Say if I am walking in the light. It is necessary that I have fellowship with other believers. It's my, you know, I've had a lot of experience as a pastor now. I just take the word as it is. If someone is out of fellowship, they are not walking in the light. I don't mean they miss church 1 week or 2 weeks. They are out. They don't go to any church. No church is good enough. They are walking in darkness. And the darkness is dominating them more. If we are walking in the light, what happens? We have fellowship. When you're out of fellowship, you are going into darkness. If I want to keep my children in the light, what do I need to do? Even if it's 3 years old, doesn't matter. Plant them in fellowship. That is the way to train up a child, the way that it should go. Whether it's easy for you to do it, doesn't matter. Whether it's difficult for you to do it, doesn't matter. Your commitment is to do it anyway. Hallelujah. It will come and pay you later. It's like business, yeah? You invest, it will pay you. When you are in fellowship, you may not see immediately the benefit of your fellowship until you have to face darkness. You know, there's something they say my mother says, it's called, I won't say it, but it's like vaccination, something you've received into you, preparing you for the evil day. Now, what fellowship does? It prepares you. The day you will need it, you can't predict it. It will just rise up. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Because faith comes by hearing. I want to drop this one. A few things, and I'm about to finish. Faith does not come by teaching your children morals. Yeah, you ought not to do that. Oh, in our family, we don't do that. No! Faith comes by what? Hearing the word. You can teach children good behavior, but you cannot give them faith without the word. And the way you get the word is in the place of what? Fellowship. So who is a wise woman and a wise man? It's the person that stays in fellowship. Amen? Your fellowship with God is important. Your fellowship with other believers. You can never be wider than Jesus. He said, I will build my church. You say you don't need church. You are foolish. Jesus said, I will build my church. You know what they call the name of the church? It's a woman called Ecclesia. Amen? That's the bride of Christ. Jesus is living the word. He said, what I'm going to give you as a parting gift is my church and the Holy Spirit in the church. So you came up one day and said, you don't need church. That you're okay with church on radio. That's foolishness. You cannot change the main meal for the what? Appetizer or what's the other one? The one after appetizer, the one after the meal is what called dessert. Dessert will never substitute main meal. Dessert is very sweet. Okay, let me see if I have time for just one more thing to say. The prodigal son. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Yeah? The father had the love. The man said, I want everything. He didn't give him straight away. How can he give him when he loves him? He will talk to him. Advise him. He will persuade him. In fact, the last thing that he will forbid him. But the boy comes and says, no! I have my own life to live. And I have my right. I'm going my way. And there's nothing you can do about it. So the father released him. Even lovingly gave him his portion. That was the first part of the story. The question the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart is that, so now, if you have a rebellious child of God, it can be a child or an adult, doesn't matter. How will you bring them back home? Let's answer that question, then we finish. A rebellious child of God, they have gone their own way, they have wasted their inheritance. How do you bring them? The mic is with you. How do you bring them back home? Come on. From the story. Go on, please.
You let the story play out.
Okay.
Give them enough ropes.
Firstly, the first key is that the son must leave home remembering that the father's love was still there. You understand? Because if he ever doubts the father's love, he can't come back. But that's not the main key. I'm just saying that's background. The key is that Bible says that when his resources finished, then what came? Suffering. Suffering came. He suffered. He will have, you know his new friends? Pigs. That is, you know, like when you're enjoying the scene, yeah? You're not yet suffering. But when the sin now is sitting on your head and punishing you, you are suffering. Then, one day, he came to himself. That means that what happened to him before? Yeah? Spiritual blindness. It's like temporary insanity. He came to himself and said, even the servants. If I'm a son. Yeah? But I'm no longer worthy. But even the servants. And he said, he'll go home. Well, of course, what took him back home was that he knew that the father loved him. But he didn't know when he was leaving. until he came to himself. But you see, we don't have to go that journey. It's a punishment of rebellion. But we don't have to go to punishment of remember. The other son, too, was like, he's angry. How can you be celebrating? His father said, all that I have is yours. You see, the one where I went out, thought he was going to enjoy. He enjoyed a bit, then he came back, seriously suffering, tattered, hungry, and begging. But the one that was home, you need to know that when you are home, you are not losing out. All he has is yours. Amen? When I'm walking with God, and I'm not messing with sin, all he has is mine. I can live victoriously. Amen? I don't have to go the way of sin to live victoriously. All the Father has is his. Meaning that, he said, but you didn't give me. All I have is yours. You could have asked. Because it's yours. It's yours. Let's rise up. Say to yourself, if I remain with the Father and I abide in his word, all he has is mine. That's a deep revelation. Glory to God. Just talk to God and say, Father, I choose to walk in the light. I repent. Anyway, I've closed my eyes to truth. Anyway, I've closed my eyes to good advice. Anyway, I've closed my eyes to instruction and correction. When I feel that I'm smart, I'm cool, I'm the one happening, I repent. Father, this light you have brought me in, I want to make it a profession. I want faith to be my profession. Day and night. Just walk the walk. I don't want to play about. So I can enjoy all. Let's pray another prayer. You know that I said that even when you are doing right, there's still darkness around you because of other people. And you still have to dominate that darkness. It's not just in your life. Any darkness around you that is oppressing your life and hindering the will of God in your life is darkness that affects you. You need to overcome it. But you cannot do that without the shield of faith. You cannot do that without walking in love. You cannot do that without the wisdom of God. So today I want to pray about any situation in your life that is like darkness. Ask for wisdom. Repent of any bitterness or unforgiveness. Let it go. Those things are agents of the devil. You don't need it in your life. Humble yourself and say, I give up I forgive. I release those who have offended. And I receive wisdom. Look, the wisdom of God, we always checkmate the worst devil. The wisdom of God, if you can download it from heaven, on a daily basis, you'll be checkmating whoever the devil is using to oppress you. So when you're not checkmating them, don't blame anybody. Blame yourself. And go back and say, Lord, wisdom. You see, you may be praying for wisdom, but not using your faith to receive wisdom. You see, you pray for wisdom, then you go back to walking in the flesh. Say, Lord, I receive wisdom to deal with all the difficult people in my life. I don't know if you have any of them. I receive wisdom. I humble myself. You yourself, you need humility. You cannot receive wisdom if you don't have humility. I receive wisdom to undo all the difficult people in my life and to checkmate the darkness they're trying to invade me with. Wisdom from above. You know, wisdom is light. Wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.